Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely amazing day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely great. I just did a big TV shoot over in Clearwater, Florida this morning with my friend Herman Bailey on the Christian Television Network. We just got back a few minutes ago, so it's been a busy, busy day for me. Yesterday I was on a caravan for midnight for about an hour and a half after we did our show, and then I was on with Herman first thing this morning. So it's been a go, go, go here for a little bit. So I'm going to be actually happy to take a little bit of rest for a second, but I want to talk to you about something real quick, guys. There's a guy named Dennis Prager, and he has a YouTube video that's called Prager University. He's also a top commentator. I love this guy. He puts out some really, really good information. I want to give some background because he's written an article that I need to share with you. This is from Wikipedia. I'm reading right off Wikipedia. Dennis Prager, P-R-A-G-E-R. Dennis Mark Prager was born August the 2nd, 1948. He's an American nationally syndicated radio talk show host and writer. He founded Prager University, an American nonprofit organization that creates videos on various political, economic, and philosophical topics from a conservative perspective. Prager was born in New York City to Hilger Prager and her husband Max Prager. Prager and his siblings were raised in a modern Orthodox Jewish home. He attended the Yeshiva of Flatbush of New York, Brooklyn, New York, which is a Jewish school, where he befriended Joseph Taluskin. He went to Brooklyn College and graduated with a major in history and Middle Eastern studies. Over the next few years, he took courses at the Columbia University School of International and Public Affairs and at the University of Leeds. Now, after he left college, he basically abandoned modern Orthodox Judaism, but maintained some of his practices, and he remained religious to this day. In 1969, while he was studying in England, he was recruited by a Jewish group to travel to the Soviet Union to interview Jews about their life there. When he returned the next year, he was in demand as a speaker on the repression of Soviet Jews. He earned enough from lectures to travel and visited around 60 countries, and he became the national spokesperson for the student struggle for Soviet Jewry. Now, I'm bringing this up because he wrote an article on his website, and you guys need to read this, and it's the Front Page Magazine. It's the inside, every progressive is a totalitarian screaming to get out, Front Page Magazine. And he wrote an article on Jews today, him being Jewish, and he separates Jews from being conservative Jewish folks to left-wing Jews who are the reactionaries and the revolutionaries. And here's what he says about this. I'm reading you the article. Left-wing Jews, a Jewish in American tragedies. Jewish leftists make revolution, all Jews pay the price. It is probably impossible to overstate the damage left-wing, not liberal, but left-wing Jews are doing to Judaism, Jews, and America. Of course, the same can be said of the damage left-wing Catholics are doing to Catholicism and America. Other left-wing Christians are doing to Christianity in America, and most obviously, the damage the secular left-wing is doing. But since anti-Semitism is in the news, and given the prominence of many left-wing Jews, I will focus on them. Remember, Prager is Jewish. He goes on to say, the damage done to Jews by left-wing Jews is not new. It all began at the beginning with Karl Marx, the grandfather of two Orthodox rabbis. His parents had undergone pro-forma conversion to Christianity. He wrote one of the most anti-Semitic tracts of the 19th century on the Jewish question, published in 1844. In it, he wrote, among other things, what is the worldly religion of Jew doing? He goes on to say, in the early 20th century, another left-wing Jew, Leon Trotsky, who was with Lenin, led the Bolshevik Party in Russia, was a catastrophe for Jews and for humanity. In 1920, when Trotsky was head of the Red Army, Moscow's chief rabbi, Rabbi Jacob Mazzi, asked him to use the army to protect the Jews from attacks in which tens of thousands of Jews were murdered. May I also add, in which tens of thousands of Christians and Orthodox Russians were murdered also. Trotsky is reported to have responded, why do you come to me? I'm not a Jew. Okay. To which Rabbi Mazzi answered, that's the tragedy. It's the Trotskys who make revolutions and the Bronsteins who pay the price. It is a story of many Jewish leftists to this day. Jewish leftists make revolutions and all the Jews, among the millions of others, pay the price. Thus the readers of the movement to economically strangle Israel. The boycott, divest, sanctions, and movement are all left-wing Jews. A few years ago, I was invited to the world's most famous debating forum, the Oxford Union, to debate the farcical question of whether Israel or Hamas was a greater obstacle to peace in the Middle East. One of my two adversaries was a Jewish foreign professor at Oxford. He argued that Israel was a greater threat to peace than Hamas. Another prominent left-wing Jew, MIT professor Noam Chomsky, has voted his life to writing and speaking against two countries, the United States and Israel. The security of the world's only Jewish state is by far the greatest security issue for world Jewry, yet many left-wing Jews attack Israel, support many of those who wish to destroy Israel, or at the very least, do nothing to strengthen Israel's security. Now, I'm going to let you guys finish reading this article, but what I wanted to point out to you is this, and it's something I always say, I can't write an article like this because I'm not Jewish, period. I could write it, but I'm not going to deal with the blowback. But I want to quote this guy's article about what these left-wing Jewish communist radicals, revolutionaries are doing to the United States, what they're doing to the reputation of Jews in the United States, what they've done to the reputation of the Jews globally with what happened with the Russian Revolution, and all of the above, going to the banking systems, to the Federal Reserve systems, to all of these corporations that are run by left-wing Jews that run the United States. This is a major, major problem. And this man Prager is pointing this out as a Jewish person, saying, hey, look, guys, this isn't okay. You guys have to stop doing this because you are giving all of us, all of the Jews, a bad name. The same as he says that the left-wing Christians who support Obama, who claim to be Christians, who support abortion, who support all of these left-wing agendas are not doing any kind of service to Christianity, in the same way he says the left-wing Roman Catholics that are doing the same thing. Guys, we don't need any religion, whether it's Judaism, Catholicism, or Christianity, supporting left-wing, communist, totalitarian, overthrow your government, basically institute socialism and communism in your country, groups of people claiming to be respective members of their own religious parties who have no interest whatsoever but to basically destroy, to rob, to kill, and to basically subject all of humanity to become impoverished and enslaved. What do you think, Austin?
There's no question about it. I mean, we definitely are having some crazy stuff on both ends of the spectrum right now, and it doesn't seem to be stopping. If you guys have noticed this, over the last couple of years, I mean, stuff is just increasing at a rapid pace as far as how hard they're pushing this agenda. And I've said this before, and I'm pretty much holding to this. I really truly believe that they want their entire plan at least to be in full implementation by 2030, hence why the United Nations is pushing so hard to become a global government. I mean, they're just chomping at the bits. They're trying to dictate what every country can do. They're constantly telling us what we can and can't do. The United Nations is completely unconstitutional. The fact that they even have a building on U.S. soil troubles me the most. And this is what everybody is starting to realize now, so they're trying to speed up the entire process of what they're doing. I mean, we have something unprecedented now where this is happening repeatedly now in elections, where we're seeing the Democrats push harder and harder and harder and harder to try to get their agenda through. So even crazy enough, I just saw an article today. The Democratic majority leadership, Chuck Schumer, came out now and he said that they are now fighting for real reforms. They plan to allow everybody to vote, and basically they don't want anybody to be left out. He went on to say, we're fighting for real reforms. Now, the thing about this is an article, Hans von Spalsky, senior fellow of the Heritage Foundation and manager of Election Law Reform Initiative, said Democrats want all non-citizens voting because they know it's going to help them win the elections. He explained the new term voter suppression that you guys have heard now. Just like they come out with the term conspiracy theory, just like they come out with common sense gun laws, just like they come out with assault weapons, they come up with these really, really catchy terms that are they're hard to argue with. Voter suppression being another one. I've heard that a lot now in a lot of the research and news that I've been watching and doing this. The Democrats are saying that at every angle now. CNN's parroting that on every show. Voter suppression. It's not fair to have voter suppression. It's a deliberate policy that's been created by the left, guys. The term voter suppression is a complete and total myth. We have never had true voter suppression in the United States. We have had a democratic election and a constitutional republic. The fact is now they don't like it that they're continuing to lose, and they know the only way they can actually get the ball now to push their agenda is they have to take the Senate and the House over, and the only way to do so is to get every single felon, every single illegal, every single non-citizen that's not even supposed to be here voting. Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican out of Florida, told Breitbart News yesterday, he said that the Democrats are stress testing the integrity of our election system this election to build a roadmap on how to steal the election 100% from Donald Trump in 2020. He goes on to say that the laws require a certain reporting and transparency to occur regarding who voted, when they voted, and by what means they voted. The transparency isn't just to make people feel better, it's the kryptonite to fraud, because if we know how people are voting, you're able to triangulate against any of the fraudsters that would cast the illegal ballots. He goes on to say that Brenda Snipes has just decided there are certain things she's not going to tell us, certain laws she's not going to follow, so we go to court. The court ruled the supervisor of elections violated the Florida Constitution by standing in the way of the public access, and then law enforcement refuses to do anything. What most concerning is that between Election Day and now, over 80,000 ballots have just been spoken into existence out of nowhere. They weren't acknowledged to exist on election night. They weren't acknowledged to exist the next day. And then lo and behold, 2 and 3 days later, the Democrats needed more votes to close the gaps, and voila, more ballots continue to be found. He goes on to say, I think they're still finding votes of Al Gore down in Broward County. He goes, in a lot of our Republican counties, we've seen, we play it by the books. Our supervisor of election does not cut corners. They follow the law. So in a recount, you often don't get a whole lot of new votes from a Republican area, and that's pretty consistent across the board. It's in the Democratic areas where all of a sudden there are mystery boxes of ballots and votes by the tens of thousands that pop out of thin air weeks now after the election. And I thought that was very clear what he's saying here, because right now this is a midterm. This is a big deal, especially with the governorship of Florida and everything else. However, the bigger one's going to be in 2020 when we know they are doing everything they can to get Trump out of office, because they've already leaked again that they want Hillary to run again for office. For some reason, it seems to be that Hillary has obviously done a lot of dirt for the globalists. And for some reason, they really, really owe her to get into office. It's like her dream to be the castle bear of the United States, so she can basically turn this country into a communist society. And what's crazy to me is that they haven't figured it out yet, so now it's almost like they're beta testing to see what they're going to get away with. The fact that Snipes isn't in jail, the fact that basically Sheriff Israel hasn't basically been arrested for failing to follow court orders, the fact that all of this stuff is still going on down here, and then the mainstream media is clearly pushing their agenda. Every time you turn around, like the he talked earlier in the article, voter suppression. This is not voter suppression when somebody that's illegally here or they're a non-citizen that can't legally vote, can't vote. There's no voter suppression about that. That's why I was so irritated when I saw the amendment passed that basically allowed convicted felons to immediately get their voting rights back as soon as they basically get out of jail. In most cases, if you go to court, you can appeal. They can look at your history. They can see if you basically haven't gone back and forth to prison for a number of years after you've been out, and you can get your voting rights restored. That's not the case anymore. Now that this amendment is in law, with the exception of murder trials, as far as murder convictions and sexual abuse convictions, anybody that's now a felon, as soon as they get out of jail, immediately can vote again. There's a reason why. They know a huge portion of the population in jail is going to vote strongly Democrat, especially the ones that aren't supposed to be here legally. So now you have people that came here legally, got arrested because they broke our laws, were detained and arrested and convicted and then put in jail here, and now, just because of this amendment, when they get out, they're automatically going to have their voting rights restored. stored. That's a serious issue. And again, they want to get everything lined up for the next 2 years to make sure they have the whole thing in the bag. And the fact that these guys in the mainstream media, these guys and girls, are so hardcore left, that this is nothing abnormal. This is constitutional law for the past 200 plus years. The way these votes are being handled has been the exact same way for a very long time. But now the fact they're mad, they can't get away with what they're doing, so they're pitching a giant fit. And just to add on top of it, to push it even further now, once these guys got into office, as we already know, this was introduced into the House now by a bunch of, 15 Democrats. I just got this on one of my gun articles earlier here. Beginning of, right after the election, it looks like. H.R. 7115. It looks like they had it ready for November 2nd, and basically it got submitted. Now that they have the House, they're gonna try to push this through to the Senate. This, again, is another one of those incredibly egregious firearm bills they're gonna try to ram through. H.R. 715, now that they have the House, this is introduced to the House. And it states to prohibit the sale, acquisition, distribution, and commerce or import in the United States of certain firearm receiver castings or blanks, assault weapon parts kits, and machine gun parts kits, and any marketing or advertising of such casting, blanks, or kits on any medium of electronic communications to require homemade firearms to have serial numbers or for any other purpose. Now, let me break this down to you in a nutshell what they're saying here. A lot of you guys have heard of the 3D printed guns. The name of this bill is 3D Firearms Prohibition Act. 3D guns are something that are interesting because you're able to build lower receivers out of polymer. They're definitely not battle hardened, in my opinion. I've played and tinkered with some of them. They can handle a mild amount of heat and a mild amount of abuse. Once they start getting really hot, as far as battle-tested elements with large amounts of ammunition being pushed through them, they're not something that I would call heavily reliable. However, they are still reliable for self-defense, in my opinion, and basically short-term. The next step that we've seen in the United States are 80 receiver blanks. These are lower receivers that go to AR-15s that have not been fully milled out yet. They're finished to 80%, hence the name. So you can take them, you can get a CNC machine, and you can basically mill them out, and you have an AR-15 without a serial number that you basically made in your own home. Perfectly legal, perfectly fine. I don't have a bit of problem with them. Last time I checked in the Constitution, you don't have to get permission to manufacture an AR-15 lower in the Constitution. Just facts. Now, what they're doing with this is they're not only throwing in a deceptive name by saying the 3D Firearms Prohibition Act, even though we have not had a single, even their false flag mass shootings, none of them have been made with a 3D printed lower receiver, and none of them, to my knowledge, have been made with an 80% lower that somebody milled out. None. So we don't have any type of background of violations of law, murders, criminal activity, nothing of these type, except maybe a very small few cases where somebody was breaking the law and they got caught with one of these weapons. Now, what they're doing here, and this is a very strategic part, now listen to me for a second, they're throwing in and coupling in the 80% lowers and the 3D lowers into this bill. And right into the middle of it, it says assault weapon parts kits. Now, let me clarify this for a second. An assault weapon part kit of what they are basically describing at this point in here is what I've already saw as an assault weapons part kit is any part kit that is used in the trigger assembly of an assault weapon. An assault weapon is what the Democrats deem any type of firearm that is magazine fed, has a bump stock on, or has a stock on it, and basically has a pistol grip on it, meaning pretty much any firearm at all that's magazine fed in most cases, with the exception of like Rugers and stuff like that. This right here, if this goes into law, it will no longer allow you to buy an AR-15 trigger assembly kit. Legal AR-15 trigger assembly kits. They will ban it. You will no longer be able to change the trigger in your AR-15. If your receiver has an issue, if your hammer has an issue, if your spring has an issue, you will no longer be able to buy one of these kits. You have to go, basically, to a certified armorer, have them replace it for you at whatever cost they deem necessary, and at that point, you're dealing with an FFL dealer that will probably have more regulations placed on them as well. This, again, is another small step step that they're trying to do to prevent us from being able to have weapons of any type of self-defense nature whatsoever. This is breaking it down, guys. I've talked about this till I'm blue in the face, and I repeat myself over and over again until people get irritated with me. Why? Because I don't care if people get irritated with me. This is one of those things that if we don't start standing up and voicing our right to exercise our Second Amendment, that we don't need a permit for, that we don't need permission for, that we don't need to ask anybody for, they are going to strip it from us. And this bill right here, H.R. 7115, is the next step in that, because they know they're never going to be able to just outright ban guns. Every guns ban tournament's never going to happen. They have to start with the big scary ones, and they have to start with the big scary parts. We already saw in Florida, they've restricted bump fire stocks as a felony now to possess a bump fire stock, which is one of the most unconstitutional, egregious acts I've ever seen written in the law in this great state of Florida. Now the House is pushing for this. Be ready, stay frosty, make sure you voice your opinion, make sure you tell your local representatives to not allow this stuff to go through, because they're selling it as a 3D Firearms Prohibition Act to prevent people from being able to sell and being able to market 3D lowers and 80% lowers, which a large percentage of the Republicans are probably going to say, not a big deal. You just need to go buy one from the store. They're going to come back and say, these are common sense gun laws. Nobody needs to be able to buy these things. But what they're not telling you is that four letter right in the middle of it, four word statement, assault weapon parts kit, is going to be able to prevent any of us from maintaining, updating, or keeping our weapons up to date in the near future when it comes to AR-15s and any other likewise firearm that's associated in that category, Dad.
You know, let me explain something to you real quick, guys. You know, the Russian Revolution, it took years to develop. It started prior to World War One. If you watch the movie Dr. Zhivago, they actually call the Russian revolutionaries, you're going to get this, Austin, Antifa. Kid you not. Okay? Watch the movie. You'll hear Antifa. I watched it last night, heard Antifa, and I thought, whoa, that's crazy. They're calling Antifa the same thing as the Russian revolutionaries who basically created the Russian Revolution. Now, what they did, they couldn't get the Russian Revolution passed. They couldn't get it moving. They couldn't get it going. The government kept coming in and riding them down with horses and bayonetting them and everything else and hitting them with swords. And then what happened is Russia got caught up in the World War One against Germany. And the masses got stuck in trench warfare against Germany. And the new boots they got 2 years earlier started rotting on their feet. Their coats started rotting off. They started freezing to death. But the Russian Revolution people were still in the middle of the ranks of the military talking about revolution. Finally, the Russian revolutionaries got the troops just to leave the war and pull Russia out in the middle of their own civil war. Now, they do all of this stuff very slowly, very insidiously, just like now they're taking away these part kits for the lower receivers for AR-15s. Now, the irony of all of this stuff is Chuckie Schumer and Feinstein, all of these hardcore leftist communists, are the exact Jewish people that Prager was talking about in his article. This is who he's talking about. Hardcore leftist communists in our government. Remember, we used to have a lot of hardcore leftists in Hollywood, and then they started getting called out, and they started getting put on banned lists because they weren't allowed to act any longer because of what happened with the McCarthy hearings. Because communism was taking over Hollywood. Hollywood, by the way, has been taken over by these hardcore leftist Jewish revolutionaries that Prager has talked about. Same thing with Broward County. Hardcore leftist Jewish revolutionaries. A lot of them are involved in the Shabbat centers that are all over Broward County. If you guys remember, it was a Shabbat center that caught the guy walking who was supposedly the shooter down there in Parkland. All of these guys are heavily involved in revolutionary protocols as far as taking over the United States. Their goal is not to implement a communist government. The goal is to overthrow the government, to bring in a new world order under the boot of the Rothschild masters. You guys, you've got to see it for what it is. I'm not making this junk up. And see, and just like Prager said too, then you get the left-wing Christians that are involved in this, the ones that are promoting abortion, the ones that are promoting communism. I met a lot of people up in D.C. at the Antifa rallies that were not Jewish. They weren't Christian. They were just hardcore leftist Americans. Some of them were Christians. I've gotten into so many arguments with my Christian friends, especially with the AME Church, the American African Methodist Church. I have a pastor who's a friend of mine in one of those. And I'm like, why do you guys support the Democrats? Democrats were the party of slavery. The Republicans are the ones that freed you guys. I said, on top of that, the Democrats have done everything through the Great Society program with Lyndon Johnson to destroy the black church and destroy the black community, destroy the black household. I said, why are you guys basically, you know, beholden to the Democrats? But guys, it's this lie. It's this constant lie. Even the right, the left-wing Catholics that Prager talked about, all these left-wing reactionaries, they have their roots in Marxism, period. And all of this stuff has permeated now into our society. And then we have a few key people like Chucky Schumer and Feinstein that are basically doing the work of their masters, starting World War III, starting this whole new utopia they want to bring in with Lucifer at the top, which is ridiculous. These guys are about as dumb as a box of rocks. And they're put up as figureheads, and they do what they're told to do. And by doing what they're told to do, they become insanely wealthy, insanely wealthy. Look how wealthy Al Gore is now, promoting this thing with global warming. Look how many congressmen and senators go to Washington, and they're worth a few a few hundred thousand dollars when they get in. They come out 20 years later worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Guys, hundreds of millions. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And so they basically are coming in, going in broke, coming out incredibly wealthy, because they're doing the work of their taskmaster, the Luciferian Rothschild boys. And now we have elements of the Catholic Church that are also completely and totally corrupt, pushing their pedophilia agenda. We've got members of the Protestant churches that are basically tying into the World Council of Churches, and a lot of these progressive churches that are taking the blood of Christ out of churches, repentance out of churches. It's all part of the same movement. It's all to bring us into a Unitarian kind of church, a ecumenical kind of church, a one world religion in which all of the basically the trappings of our religion are cast aside, and they bring Lucifer up out of the back room and say, oh, by the way, this will now be your God. That's what these guys are planning on doing. By the way, I'm beginning to think the entire sending the military to the border fence was a Republican ruse to try to get support for the GOP candidates for the election. The groups of people now that are coming in the United States from that caravan are freely climbing the border fence, and there are no American troops anywhere. San Diego, people on the Mexican side of the border could be seen climbing the fence near the Borderfield State Park Tuesday afternoon after part of the Central American caravan arrived in Tijuana. But there are no U.S. troops whatsoever trying to stop this massive inflow or firing upon these migrants as they freely climb the border fence. What happened to all the troops that were being sent down? One guy wrote, one of the alternative media people, which he gives a lot of hype out there, said, oh, they're sending artillery down there. They're going to be starting to shell these guys. Guys, smoke und mirrors. Smoke and mirrors is what we get over and over and over again. When I first read that it was being used to push GOP votes, I thought, that's just nuts. Now there are no troops waiting to apprehend these guys. By the way, in Greece, a non-government organization is caught on camera admitting it teaches migrants to lie and to pretend to be Christian rather than Muslim to enter Europe under false pretenses. Now, this is a major problem in Greece. It's been a proxying problem. Basically, Ricker says the asylum process is simply theater. She admits to teaching migrants how to cry, to act a part of the refugee trauma, and even vomit to show extreme emotion. She revealed that she teaches the migrants to pretend to be Christian and how to pretend to pray. Ricker even admitted that her non-government organization is involved with human smugglers. Advocates Abroad is linked with the International Lawyers Bar Association and has 380 staff members who worked with over 15,000 refugees in 2017. It's all smoke and mirrors. So they're doing everything they possibly can to destroy the United States of America as quickly as they can. And in the process, they're also trying to do their best to take out Europe. Personally, I spoke to a pastor over there the other day, been on a bunch of different services. He said Europe is not lost. Europe is not lost yet. And here's why. The Muslims haven't had their 8 to 10 babies. per generation.
Yeah.
8 to 10, 8 to 10, 8 to 10, tens of thousands, and a few, you just a few, just a few people. And people don't understand what happens when you have massive immigration from people that like to have 8 to 10 to 12 children. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, Trump's new restrictions on asylum seekers coming into the United States that actually requires them to wait in line like they do at Disney World is now being challenged by the ACLU and the SPLC. Last week, in an effort to stop the flood of migrants seeking economic benefit, President signed the order to halt the asylum claims made by people who illegally crossed the border with Mexico. In the past fiscal year, 140,000 migrants have entered the U.S. illegally. Guys, it's not 140,000. It's probably 20 times that. Trump's new rule requires migrants to make asylum claims at official points of entry where they be processed in a controlled, orderly, and lawful manner like going on to a ride at Disney World. The migrants will be funneled into the crowded point of entries with hope the long waits will discourage them. Now they're being sued by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the American Civil Liberty Union for making the migrants stand in line to register properly, just like they would do at Disney World, which, by the way, threw out another park goer who on Splash Mountain held up a Trump banner and a Make America Great banner, which is political display at Disney, and he has been permanently barred from the parks again after they let him back in. So I thought I'd tie both those stories together, Austin. What do you think, bud?
It doesn't surprise me with Rat World over there at Disney. You guys, if you, our listeners probably know by now after they've heard you and I on this show that we're not fans of Disney, even though we used to have annual passes years and years ago now. And recently I've had a couple friends that I know were constantly pushing me to get annual passes again since we got kids. And I told them, no, I said, I don't want to do it. And they're like, oh, come on, we haven't had any issues over there, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, just wait. I said, they will. I said, if you have any type of assertive personality and you don't like being molested and told what to do and corralled in the areas and basically pushed against your will, I said, you'll have an issue eventually. And sure enough, one of my friends, he's got a daughter, and he's been asking me for a while to get passes to take the kids over there. I saw my church on Sunday, and somehow the topic got brought up about Disney, and he's like, oh, Disney, I'm never renewing my passes over there again. I started giggling. I said, oh, what happened to you now? And he goes, man, you're not even going to believe this. He goes, I was walking up, you know, and we walked through. We didn't have any bags, so we didn't have to go through the metal detectors, or so we thought. So we walked around the side, because there's like a side opening if you don't go through metal detectors. He goes, and it was my daughter's birthday, of all things. So we walked through, and we kept walking. And he goes, apparently somebody at the security thing started yelling at me and told me to stop multiple times. He goes, but, you know, there's literally 200-plus people going through security. You hear that, and you're like, it doesn't really matter. You're looking around. You're eyeballing things. You're making sure everything's secure. You're not really paying attention. You're already walking past that. And he said, so he kept walking and, you know, walking on his way. Didn't think anything of it, really. Didn't even notice it. And all of a sudden, he was surrounded by three security guards and four Orange County PD sheriffs, and all of a sudden they circled him, and he goes, whoa, what is going on? I'm just out of nowhere. They just like, phoom, like that one movie, if you ever saw Mr. Deeds, with the one butler that he has, it just shows up out of nowhere. So this is where they just come out, phoom, out of nowhere. He goes, what in the world's going on? And they basically start yelling at him, telling him that he bypassed security and he was going to get thrown out of the park, and I mean, just completely harassing. Remember, this guy is paid $500 per person for annual passes for him and his daughter. Spent $1,000 just to attend the park, not even including your food and your drinks and all the other shenanigans they tax you for when you go there. And so he started chiming right back at him. He goes, listen, he goes, I can't be responsible if somebody says something and I don't hear them. So they argued for about 5 minutes till finally PD basically said, well, we're either going to arrest you or you're going to leave the park voluntarily. Well, apparently at this time, one of the park managers came up who had seen it on camera and intervened and basically tried to de-escalate the situation with the bad cop, good cop approach. And so he talked him into going back and walking through the metal detector. And so he did, and he submitted like a good little boy and listened to him. And they allowed him to go back in the park after he, you know, had his little ordeal with him.
And he said it bothered him all day. And, you know, he thought about it more and more. And he's like, dude, he goes, not only am I paying a large sum of money to go here, I'm paying money every time I go here with food and drinks and everything else. And he goes, I didn't do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong here. They obviously know that I'm a pass holder. They can see it as soon as I went through the entryway. And I said, for them to treat me like that was just astounding. And I said, you understand, Bo. I said, Disney World is a globalist entity. That's why they're unbelievably pro-gay, they're unbelievably pro-transgender, they're unbelievably pro-abortion, they're unbelievably communist ideology, they're unbelievably anti-gun, they're unbelievably anti-Trump. Hence, when somebody holds up a banner like Trump Make America Great Again, he's barred from the park permanently. That's what Disney World thinks about anybody coming in there, and I can almost guarantee you on a shadow of a doubt, if somebody would have done that 3 years ago and done that with an Obama sign, they probably would have been reprimanded, told they can't hold that up again, either told to come back another day, or basically slapped on the wrist and said to continue on their day after they threw the sign away. Guarantee you. But there are so many liberals that operate Disney World, they're never going to let that. So, I digress. Anyway, side note on that, another reason why I don't visit Disney World or any of their other entities. Other news as well, privacy concerns as Google now absorbs DeepMind's health division. This is interesting, guys. You guys know that Google acquired London-based artificial intelligence lab DeepMind in 2014. Privacy advocates have raised concern now about the patient's data after Google said it will take full control of the subsidiary DeepMind's healthcare division. DeepMind Health brand, which uses NHS patient data, will cease to exist going further, and the team behind its medical app will join Google as part of Google Health. This comes just months after DeepMind promised never to share data with the technology giant Google. DeepMind Health has already come under scrutiny from data watchdogs in the past. Last year, the Royal Free Hospital in London was found to have breached the Data Protection Act over its handling of patients' data when using the Streams app that was developed for DeepMind. Now, to break this down in a nutshell, what's going on here? This is a healthcare division. This holds everybody's info. Everything you've done, every operation you've had, every allergy you've had, every interaction with a doctor you've had, pretty much anything you've had with, if you've been involved with the DeepMind healthcare division, Google has acquired that now. And now they're not even trying to act like they're going to keep it as a secondary. They're absorbing it into Google Health now. This, again, is what I talked earlier on the show. You're actually on a show this morning that I was on at 10 o'clock. Not yesterday's show, about how what they're doing with the AI. A lot of people don't understand the big picture of what they're doing. With the phones and the permissions that record everything you say, they record your media, they record your location, they track where you go with Google. All this stuff is being archived in a giant database, building a whole file on you, including all of your healthcare. Remember, for the longest time now, with regulations, with healthcare, it was very difficult for any of that stuff to ever be accessed. That was not readily available stuff. But now, Google had the ability to access what prescriptions you're on, what medications you've ever been on, what allergies you have, what operations you've had, if you own guns. Remember how the doctors now for the last 8-9 years have been asking patients, do you own any firearms? That's been on the questionnaire now for millions upon millions of people worldwide. All of that stuff. They're building a giant database on every single person. So they not only will know what you say in private, what's on your phone, where you go, where you travel, what you do in your healthcare privacy now as far as what happens at the doctor, they're going to know every facet of your life so they can do full-blown predictive programming on what you do, what you're about to do, and what you may even think about doing in the future. This all wraps into the hive mind 5G, Internet of Thing, AI, that they're trying to basically force upon us so they can literally monitor anything we think, say, and do on a regular basis. And the fact that Google now is blatantly talking about this and they're acquiring it into Google Health just goes to show you that there are no limits on which Google will stop at in acquiring every single person's information as best as they physically can, Dad.
Well, they're going to do it because once they get the D-Wave computer uploaded and going, because the D-Wave computer is loaded, it's running. It's processing. The problem is they can't, the interface doesn't work because the 5G's not up yet. So it'll take a lot more information than they're giving it. So that's what they're doing. They want to pump all this information into the D-Wave archives, all of it. And so they can basically make their decisions on who you were, who you think you are, and all the other kind of stuff. It's really kind of creepy, to be honest with you, when you start thinking about it. I mean, it's really, really, and actually it's not kind of creepy, it's really creepy. This whole thing's creepy about these guys. By the way, filmmaker got involved with the migrants now. He joins the caravan of migrants and he exposes mainstream lies. The first waves of caravan hits the U.S. border at San Diego again. No U.S. troops are present. The first wave of migrants, about 500 men, arrived at the U.S. border. Many climbed the border fence, taunted patrol officers. A few days earlier, a group of about 85 migrants from the LGBTQ community arrived in Tijuana, accompanied by U.S. lawyers who were paying their expenses. God, you would think Austin's attorneys have something better to do. Yeah, but of course Soros is paying their expenses through the attorneys. The attorneys are too cheap, they're not paying expenses. Filmmaker Ann Horowitz went to Mexico and reported that more than 90% of caravan migrants are men seeking jobs and welfare, despite mainstream media lies that the caravans are filled with women and children who are trying to escape violence in their countries. The journey is costing millions of dollars in food, water, transportation, medicine, and services, and the Mexican police are shown escorting the migrants in supply trucks basically towards the U.S. border and to infringe on U.S. sovereignty. And they have hostility towards the United States. The United Nations is also assisting the migrants. Remember, United Nations is run by the Rothschilds. The United Nations is also assisting the migrants. Horowitz concludes that migrants are being used by, here we go, the leftist communist organizations to weaken American sovereignty and border security. Remember, it took the incident of World War I to weaken Russia sufficiently enough to overthrow the Tsar and to put Russian leaders like Lenin into power. And that's what they're trying to do to here, flowering and pivoting, guys. Here's another article, 2018 midterm update. What's changed since election night? You guys are going to kick out of that. Since election day, the Democrats have gained an additional 3 seats in the House, winning 30 seats to dominate the House with 225 seats so far. Now, what I'm fixing to tell you is a joke. I can't take this. I gotta tell you a joke. The Democrats have also found and captured a 19-foot python in the Everglades, which had an additional 80,000 votes inside of its stomach and boxes. There you go. I had to say it. I mean, these guys are finding votes everywhere. I mean, I'm sorry, Austin, I had to do that. Okay, back to the article. Republicans did win one post-seat election. They currently have 200 seats. 10 House seats are still undecided. In an upset in the Senate, Arizona's Republican seat that was won by Martha McSally on election day has been flipped through fraud as mail-in ballots have given Congressional Democrat Christine Cimi the win. I would definitely call for a recount on that. Democrats now hold 47 seats in the Senate, while Republicans maintain a slim majority of 51 seats. One Senate seat is still play in Mississippi, which will hold a runoff on November 27th. Democrats in Florida are again finding votes everywhere to take Republican Rick Scott's Election Day victory, which would remove the current Republican majority in the Senate. You guys hear me? We lose the Senate. We lose the Senate, guys. Then we got to deal with the Republican. They're doing this right now because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Jewish Supreme Court leftist communist that we put into the Supreme Court. They know that the woman's about to croak, and they know they have to get control of the Senate, and they're willing to do that by hook or by crook. This is why they're doing it. Democrats have picked up 7 governor seats, including giving them control of 23 governorships, which Republicans control around 25. And there are 2 gubernatorial races, including Florida, that are still undecided as they pull more votes from the depth of the python carcass. This is just unbelievable to me, Austin. I read this stuff and I just laugh that our government, remember, our government is taken over by the socialists on both sides and compromised through their pedophilia, their drugs, their whores, their alcoholism, their weird things that they do in the middle of the night, their orgies, all the stuff these sickos do, they're being told what to do and what not to do. So it's very important that everybody understands that the government has been taken over. The Koch brothers, by the way, are spending millions to push DACA amnesty through Congress before the end of this year. They want to get these guys that came in on the DACA program completely and totally entitled to be in the United States and to continue to work. They basically back immigration with cheap labor, and they're working aggressively to push amnesty for 3.5 million illegal aliens who are enrolled and eligible under President Obama, the Gay Kenyan, whatever you want to call him, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. In addition, they are also pushing for prison release and so-called free trade during the same the lame duck session of Congress before the House Democrats are handed the majority in the new year. The Koch brothers have said they oppose President Trump's plan to end chain migration that allows newly naturalized citizens and allowed them to bring an unlimited number of foreign relatives into the country. Okay, so Congress, listen to me for a second, Congress. I know you guys listen to this. You guys get this thing gets transcribed all the time anyhow. Here's the deal. We don't want Obamacare. Why, we still have control of the Senate with a lame duck count and the Congress. Why don't we get rid of Obamacare? That blithering idiot, may he not rest in peace, John McCain, war criminal, is dead. He's the one who kept Obamacare in here with us. Nobody wants Obamacare. We want rid of Obamacare. Why don't you guys do something with lame duck Congress? Because they'll never get it passed through if they try to put Obamacare back in, because the president will veto it the next time. So why don't you guys do something more practical than letting DACA people come in and get rid of the Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel, Austin? What do you think?
Yeah, that should have already been done. I mean, it's going to be even more difficult now as far as the more ballots they find and the more communists they get in the House. The crazy part about all this now is that so many people don't see what's going on, and a lot of people want to argue like, oh, well, you know, they didn't talk about this on mainstream media. Dude, the reason why is because the mainstream media is bought and paid for by the deep state, by the pharmaceutical companies, by the lobbyists, by the communism agenda. I mean, I saw an article earlier today that Fox News now has announced Wednesday that it supports CNN's lawsuit against the White House over the temporary suspension of CNN correspondent Jim Acosta after revealing the company will file a brief in defense of the partisan network. This is from the Fox News president, Jay Wallace. This was so funny. People always want to talk about a Fox this and Fox that, dude. Fox is just like others. It's got, just got a little bit different tone than CNN. Same exact group, same people that run it. This is the release that Jay Wallace put out. Fox News supports CNN in its legal effort to regain its White House reporters' press credentials. We intend to file an amicus brief with the U.S. District Court. Secret Service passes for working White House journalists should never be weaponized. While we don't condone the growing antagonistic tone by both the president and the press at recent media availables, we do support a free press, access, and open exchange for the American people. Jay Wallace, president, Fox News. First off, if anybody with half a brain saw the behavior that Acosta presented at that briefing, being in the front row with a microphone, repeatedly talking about the same topics that have been butchered for the last 2 years, including bringing up the Russian hoax investigation, then refusing to go to the next question after the Trump already said he'd go to the next one. See, it'd be one thing if Trump had a, or if Acosta had a really pertinent question he was trying to ask, and Trump wouldn't answer it. I got that. But when Acosta couldn't find anything else to say, he basically came up with the Russian hoax. He did that on live media, on live television, to do exactly what he did to get a rise out of Trump, because he knew Trump was going to be like, forget this. Next question, next pass, pass it on. And Acosta didn't. He refused to pass the microphone. He refused to stop talking. And so they revoked his press pass, which people have to understand, to get access into the presidential press area like that, that is a privilege. That's not just a right you get granted to run in there and run your mouth and do whatever you want and act like a bumbling buffoon like Acosta does on a regular basis. So the fact that Fox is supporting this shows me very clearly that Fox is in bed with CNN, just like all the other ones at NBC and ABC, as we've told you guys so many times before. Also, too, the health topic, just to kind of tie some of this in here, is I've brought up this topic very regularly, but another article now discusses how lifting weights for less than an hour a week, just an hour a week, that's like 10 minutes a day, you know, may reduce your risk of a heart attack or stroke by between 40-70%, according to a new Iowa State University study. They said spending more than an hour in the weight room did not yield any additional benefits. They said people may think they need to spend a lot of time weightlifting, but just two sets of bench press that take less than 5 minutes could be somewhat effective. The results show benefit of strength training are independent of running, walking, or other aerobic activity. In other words, you do not have to meet the recommended guidelines for aerobic physical activity to lower your risk. Weight training alone is enough. The study is published in the Medicine and Science and Sports Exercise. If we have more time, I'll go into it later on this week. But this is something we've brought up to so many people, and we always try to, you know, talk about here at Health Masters. You don't have to be a gym rat. I mean, I've been there. Dad's been there. Been in the gym, you know, days on end, weeks on end, no days off when you're competing. That's not necessarily healthy, to be honest with you. Just put that out there. But the aspect of getting in the gym at least 2 to 3 times a week and exercising for 10, 15, 20 minutes is incredibly beneficial, as this study quite shows here. And you don't have to go in there and go berserk, but doing some moderate activity, moderate strength training a couple days a week can produce huge results, including lowering your risk of heart disease and heart attack, which is ironic because a lot of people think exercising can have negative benefits. Guys, our bodies were designed to be active. Our bodies were never designed to be this sedentary as they are now in this digital age. Back in the day, people walked everywhere, or they were riding horses, which, by the way, if you've ridden horses, you know how much work that takes after 2, 3, 4, 5 hours of riding a horse. People were active all the time. They never stopped. They only sat down for a few minutes to eat a meal, or, you know, to gamble at the local place, the saloon, you know, in the western towns. People didn't sit like they do now for hours and hours and hours and hours on end on computers. Getting out and doing just a couple basic exercises is incredibly beneficial to the body. And again, more research proves so, Dan.
You know, I always tell folks, just do something. Do something. Just walk. Just do something. Ride a bicycle. You know, do some light, you know, aerobics, do some weight training, just do something, you know, and don't pretend like because you go fishing once a week, you're getting exercise or unless you've got a rowboat, that ain't happening. Okay. I love you guys. I appreciate you. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for listening today. Austin, go ahead and do the write up. I got to pray for you guys again today, and I'm a little bit tired right now, so I'm going to cut out a little bit early. So I love you guys. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye bye.
Absolutely. Also, too, in other news right now, they're showing here a new article showing that obese children are less likely to flourish at school, new research suggests. They said youngsters carrying dangerous amounts of weight fail to meet the 5 markers of flourishing compared to those who are healthy sized. Sorry about that, guys. Try and drink some water here for a second. They said just 27% of obese children in study met all 5 of flourishing markers. Just 27%. The rest basically had issues in multiple areas. They go on to say here that developing healthy relationships, positive attitudes, a healthy sense of purpose, and responsibility of adults are all markers that an overwhelming percentage of the obese children did not meet. And again, this is something that, you know, you have to look at, because these children with these 5 markers of flourishing and showing up here, showing interest and curiosity in learning new things, works to finish tasks that he or she starts, stays calm and in control when faced with a challenge, cares about doing well in school, and does all required homework. The issue we're seeing now is the growing obesity epidemic in the United States and also in other very, very populized countries that are very well fed, like the UK and Europe and stuff like that. The aspect of allowing your child, you know, who's 2 and 3 years old to be 100 pounds, in some cases I've seen, you know, these kids that are, you know, just a couple years old are in the triple digits now, that's disheartening to me, guys, because there's no excuse for that. These kids are not eating enough calories, even at their garbage school lunches, if they're sneaking it in, to be able to maintain that kind of weight. The only way a child of that age, when they're 4, 5, 6 years old, can maintain that type of weight is they're getting it at home. Their parents are subsidizing it. Keep the crap food out of your house. I can't be any more clear than you than that. I've seen so many kids have their lives incredibly difficult as they grow older. Even as I grew up, I've seen this before, where kids that, you know, they didn't have any part in this. Their parents allowed them to eat whatever they want. They brought home the ice cream and the Twinkies and the Oreos and the bread and the pasta and the whole cow's milk was pasteurized and homogenized. They bring it home, the kids guzzle it down, the kids start becoming overweight, and the parents don't do anything about it. Guys, if a child decides they want to go and start eating junk food and eating Taco Bell every night and buying Oreos and cupcakes and ding-dongs and ice cream when they move out when they're 18, 19, 20 years old and they want to get fat, that's on them. There's nothing you can do about that. But allowing children that are in their prime, that are going into their puberty or pre-puberty, and they're getting older and taller and stronger, and allowing them to gain this much weight, it's the level of obesity, does absolutely nothing but sets them up for a just systematic failure in health problems the rest of their life. And the problem is, so many kids that I've worked with, when they gain that weight when they're that young, they have an incredibly difficult time keeping it off when they get older, because all those fat cells are formed when they go through puberty, and it makes it incredibly difficult to burn those off and metabolize them as they get older. Can it be done? Yes. Is it incredibly difficult? Yes. Yes. Is it something that I think children should have to go through? Absolutely not. There is no excuse whatsoever, in my opinion, to allow yourself or your children to get to that level of obesity. If it's something, and the easiest thing to do this, and this is what I've told people, I've worked with numerous parents, look how your kid's body composition is. You don't have to sit there and micromanage them or talk to them honestly about it unless it starts becoming a serious problem. That's one thing. But watch their body composition. If they start getting really thick hips, if their face starts getting real chunky, and I'm not talking about 2-3-year-olds, you know, because a lot of times they're already a little chunky. I'm talking when your kids start becoming 5, 6, 7 years old and they start getting real round and real big and real past the weight limit that they need to be in, especially on the scale. There's something you need to do to make some changes and make sure they don't continually go through these problems and have to deal with them as they get older. Just a side note, guys, very passionate about that. And I just want to make sure that people understand that there's so many things you can do, and it starts at the home. And, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you so much for the support you've continued to give us. I saw a bunch of order comments today that came in this morning that were incredibly nice, and I appreciate those. And the feedback we get from you guys, we're trying to adapt things the best we can as far as on the website. Like I told you guys again on Monday, be sure if you guys are reordering, check out your account, log in, look at your previous orders. If there's anything in there, you can add those products right to your cart with the click of a button. Literally takes a few seconds to add them back to your cart and check back out. I think it works incredibly great. If you have an issue with it, please email me or call us, let us know. If you have a problem with the website, please don't put it in the order comment. The order comment is for order comments, whether it be something on a product, whether it be feedback, whether it be something you just want to say to us, whether it be a very brief health question. But putting in technical IT questions in the order comments, all it does is throw everybody for a loop, because we have a specific protocol we follow to keep these orders very, very closely tracked, monitored, and accurate when they ship out. That's why all of our orders are usually very, very accurate when you receive them. So if you have an issue with the website, please let us know about it. Don't write us in the order comment and tell us how much it doesn't work and how you can't stand it and how you don't want to buy from us anymore. That really doesn't make anything productive. So I appreciate that so much, guys. And also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week, which is now up on the website. You guys voted. It won. The Purple Sticks on sale for 18% off right now on the website at healthmasters.com, including multiple other products, including the CoQ10 for 20% off. Check it out, healthmasters.com. If you need us, call us. 1-800-726-1834. We love you. We appreciate you guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.